RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo leaves for Papua New Guinea on state visit. Indonesia participates in settlement of South China Sea disputes. Bank Indonesia to work with state-owned enterprises, ministry to boost rupiah. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo leaves for Papua New Guinea on a state visit on Monday, accompanied by First Lady Iriana Jokowi and Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Tejo Edi Purjiatno from Frans Kaisepo Airport on Biak Island, West Papua. The President told a press conference in Biak. The President engaged in the two-day visit from May 11th to 12th, after concluding a five-day working visit to Maluku, North Maluku, Papua, and West Papua. Prior to departing, the President distributed Monday morning the Healthy Indonesia card to the people of Manokwari, then headed to Rendani Airport to leave for Biak on an Air Force airplane. Upon arriving in Biak, the President and his entourage boarded the presidential jet to go to Jacksons International Airport in Papua New Guinea. The Indonesian government will actively participate in settlement the South China Sea dispute involving several ASEAN member countries and the People's Republic of China on the sidelines of the Maritime Fulcrum and Foreign Policy Seminar Monday in Jakarta. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fahir said that the Indonesian government will conduct various approaches to settle the long South China Sea disputes.
Kita akan terus tentu saja dengan berbagai pendekatan dan mekanisme.
We will continue with various approaches and mechanisms, including forums. We use all forums, including forums of our initiatives, namely seminars and workshops, as well as other forums. We hope that we can provide solutions. That is why we invite all stakeholders to solve the issue as part of our contribution.
Dan kita akan lakukan terus sebagai bagian dari kontribusi kita.
A.M. Fahir stated that the dispute needs a solution for the stability as the result that involves many parties. The Maritime Fulcrum and Foreign Policy Seminar was held on Monday at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs building by the Indonesian Council on World Affairs and attended by ambassadors of friendly countries. The government of Nepal has asked the Indonesian government to extend its humanitarian mission through its field hospital. Built by the National Disaster Management Agency in Satunggai, Kathmandu, on the sidelines of a seminar on maritime fulcrum and foreign policy Monday in Jakarta, the Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, A.M. Fahir, said that the government of Nepal has asked the Indonesian Field Hospital to extend its service from May the 5th to 14th for the next 3 months.
Misi kemanusiaan terus berjalan, bahkan ada permintaan.
The humanitarian mission continues. There is even a demand for the field hospital to keep operating for the next 3 months. We will see as it involves logistic issues and others.
Logistik dan lain sebagainya.
Moreover, A.M. Fahir stated that besides the humanitarian mission, the Indonesian evacuation team will conduct rescue efforts for Indonesian citizens who are still missing despite the difficulty in reaching the location that requires specific expertise. A.M. Fahir added that the Indonesian government will cooperate with the government of Nepal to search the missing Indonesians. Indonesian Ambassador to Pakistan Burhan Muhammad is evacuated from Pakistan to Singapore on Monday, May 11, 2015, for further medical treatment for his injury after a helicopter accident in Gilgit District, Pakistan on Friday. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fahir Monday in Jakarta said that the ambassador's treatment will be continued in Singapore as it has better medical facilities.
Insyaallah hari ini kita besar Burhan akan dievakuasi.
Insyaallah Ambassador Burhan will be evacuated to Singapore and we see that Singapore has the better medical facilities and of course we thank the Pakistani government for its cooperation to take care of the ambassador.
Kita untuk menangani Pak Burhan.
Meanwhile, regarding the transportation of the body of the Indonesian ambassador's wife, Mrs. Heri Listiawati, who died at the Mi-17 helicopter accident, A.M. Fahir stated that, until now, the Indonesian government is still waiting for the DNA identification process by the Pakistani government. A.M. Fahir explained that the Indonesian government is not involved during the identification process as it is in the Pakistani government authority. A.M. Fahir also denied that the Mi-17 helicopter was shot by the Taliban but because of the mechanical failure. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia announced that it would cooperate with state-owned enterprises ministry to encourage the use of rupiah in doing transactions at home. Eko Yulianto, acting head of the Money Management Department of Bank Indonesia in Bandung, West Java, over the weekend said, BI will encourage state-owned enterprises BUMN as the regulator to urge around 100 state-owned enterprises in Indonesia to use rupiah in their transactions. Eko said that the use of rupiah in every transaction could be the key to supporting stability of rupiah exchange rate. Eko also said that the central bank considered that as of now, there are still many transactions at home done in foreign currencies, including by state-owned enterprises. He said this contributed to the pressure against rupiah. Eko added that the cooperation with the state-owned enterprises ministry is still at the finalization stage. The regulation came into effect on April 1, 2015, but there is adjustment or transition period for non-cash transactions until 30 of June to adjust agreements if they have already been drafted in foreign currencies. The government will promote West Papua province to become the national granary by utilizing land of 4.6 million hectares, President Joko Widodo said on Sunday. According to Jokowi, the decision is a mega project to meet domestic rice needs through modern mechanism. He said if all can be completed in accordance with mechanism of modern agriculture, rice production on the 4.6 million hectare land can equal the rice production throughout Indonesia. However, Jokowi still has doubts whether the program can be executed. For that, this program is targeted to finish in the next 3 years. If all part of the land are harvested, rice production could reach more than 24 million tons. President Joko Widodo said this means that Merauke alone can fulfill national rice needs by 30%. If combined with the rice production from all provinces, Indonesia can even become the world's largest rice producer. The last item. The government has planned to establish maritime outlets to ensure the availability of staple foodstuffs and their price stability. Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel told the press on Sunday that the move is a part of ministry's effort to support the sea toll program. Rahmat expressed optimism that the sea toll program would reduce logistics costs. In addition, the maritime outlets are expected to improve distribution of staple foodstuffs. Sri Agustina, the Director General for Domestic Trade at the Trade Ministry, said the maritime outlets are expected to help reducing price disparity of staple foodstuff between West Indonesia and East Indonesia. Sri also revealed that the government will optimize pioneer commercial ships to distribute staple foodstuffs and appoint PT Pelni as the operator of container ships serving foodstuff distribution to remote areas and outer islands. Sri added, the maritime outlets will sell products with the same price at 30 small ports in East Indonesia. The port will be passed by container ships and pioneer passenger ships operated by PT Pelni. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo leaves for Papua New Guinea on state visit. Indonesia participates in settlement of South China Sea disputes. Bank Indonesia to work with state-owned enterprises ministry to boost rupiah. That was the news.
This is commentary on rice imports, the last option. Lately, the discourse that the government is ready to import rice ahead of the fasting month and Idul Fitri has returned. This is an anticipation of the soaring price of essential commodities around the festive days. Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel disclosed it after a meeting with the Chief of Staff of the Presidency, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, and Cabinet Secretary Andi Wijayanto last Thursday in Jakarta. According to Gobel, President Joko Widodo has instructed to carefully count rice stocks in logistic agency or Bulog to determine whether or not to import rice. Meanwhile, according to the Chief Executive of the Association of Indonesian Farmers West Java, Entang Sastra Atmaja, the availability of rice should really be calculated according to the facts. Entang argues there is no reason to import rice if the data of rice production in 2014 of the Ministry of Agriculture, which states Indonesia has a rice surplus of at least 10 million tons, is true. The association urged the government to review the plan to import rice. On the other hand, Eni Sri Hartati, director of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF, said the government is violating Article 36 of Law No. 18 on food if it imports rice, because it is stated that rice can only be imported when there is insufficient production of domestic demand. Meanwhile, according to Agriculture Minister Sulaiman Amran last month, the rice stock at present is safe. If the rice production is surplus, then what is the problem? Apparently, Bulog, which is supposed to buy all farmers' unhulled rice, does not have the infrastructure for milling. Consequently, those who have mills can take farmers' unhulled rice in a large quantity. In turn, they may become the determinant of the rice price. Especially at harvest time, they can afford to buy farmers' unhulled rice at higher prices than the government purchase price. Bustanul Arifin, professor of Agricultural Economics Faculty of Agriculture, University of Lampung, explained to Kompas.com that Bulog's failure in absorbing rice from farmers would put the governments in a difficult situation. Bulog, which is targeted to absorb 2.7 tons of farmers' unhulled rice this year, may only be able to achieve 20% of it. Bustanul Arifin is afraid that this condition will increase inflation in May. Minister Rahmat Gobel, meanwhile, asserted imported rice is the last option for the government to increase Bulog minimum rice stock. He is still trying to reduce dependence on food imports to achieve food self-sufficiency by 2017, as announced by President Jokowi. The eventual goal is a strong Indonesian food security. Rahmat Gobel still expects the harvest next July will be able to meet the domestic supply and stabilize the price of rice so that rice import option is not necessary. Indeed, besides waiting for the harvest, shouldn't Bulog improve and enhance infrastructure? This is so that farmers' rice can be absorbed as expected. So no more worries of insufficient stocks of rice ahead of various religious holidays. Well, that was commentary on rice imports, the last option.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on May 11, 1940, when Britain and French troops entered Belgium. Listener, the Battle of Belgium or Belgian Campaign, often referred to as the 18 Days Campaign in Belgium, formed part of the Greater Battle of France, an offensive campaign by Germany during the Second World War. It took place over 18 days in May 1940 and ended with the German occupation of Belgium following the surrender of the Belgian army. On May 10, 1940, Germany invaded Luxembourg, the Netherlands and Belgium under the operational plan Fall Gulp or Case Yellow. The Allied armies attempted to hold the German army in Belgium, believing it to be the main German thrust. After the French had fully committed the best of the Allied armies to Belgium between May 10 and 12, the Germans enacted the second phase of their operation, a breakthrough or sickle cut through the Ardennes and advanced toward the English Channel. The German army reached the Channel after 5 days, encircling the Allied armies. The Germans gradually reduced the pocket of Allied forces, forcing them back to the sea. The Belgian army surrendered on May 28, 1940, ending the battle. The next event was in 1949 when Israel became a member of the United Nations. Israel is a country in Western Asia, situated at the southeastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. It shares land borders with Lebanon to the north, Syria in the northeast, Jordan on the east, the Palestinian territories comprising the West Bank and Gaza Strip on the east and southwest, respectively, and Egypt and the Gulf of Aqaba in the Red Sea to the south. It contains geographically diverse features within its relatively small area. Israel's financial center is Tel Aviv, while Jerusalem is both its designated capital and the most populous individual city under the country's governmental administration. Israeli sovereignty over Jerusalem is internationally disputed. United Nations General Assembly Resolution 273 was adopted on May 11, 1949, to admit the State of Israel to membership in the UN. It was passed following the approval of UN Security Council Resolution 69 on March 4, 1949. And the next event was in 1995 when more than 170 countries extend the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty indefinitely and without conditions. The Treaty on Non-Proliferation and Nuclear Weapons, commonly known as the Non-Proliferation Treaty or NPT, is an international treaty whose objective is to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons and weapons technology, to promote cooperation in the peaceful uses of nuclear energy, and to further the goal of achieving nuclear disarmament and general and complete disarmament. Opened for signature in 1968, the treaty entered into force in 1970. On May 11, 1995, the treaty was extended indefinitely. More countries have adhered to the NPT than any other arms limitation and disarmament agreement, a testament to the treaty's significance. A total of 190 states have joined the treaty through North Korea, which acceded to the NPT in 1985 but never came into compliance, announced its withdrawal in 2003. 4 UN member states have never joined the NPT, namely India, Israel, Pakistan, and South Sudan. The treaty recognizes 5 states as nuclear weapons states, namely the US, Russia, the UK, France, and China, also the 5 permanent members of the UN Security Council. 4 other states are known or believed to possess nuclear weapons, namely India, Pakistan, and North Korea, have openly tested and declared that they possess nuclear weapons, while Israel has had a policy of opacity regarding its nuclear weapons program. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it will be on Indonesia asks Pakistan to investigate Mi-1 helicopter crash. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The Indonesian government hopes Pakistan conduct an investigation into the tragedy of Mi-17 helicopter crash in the mountainous region of Gilgit, Pakistan on Friday, May the 8th. One of the victims is the wife of Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan, Harry Listiabudi Burhan Muhammad. There were rumors that Taliban was behind the incident that also claimed the lives of ambassadors of Norway and the Philippines, as well as the wife of the Malaysian ambassador to Pakistan. Previously, the military attaché of the Pakistani embassy to Indonesia, Colonel Muhammad Said Siddiq, said that the Pakistani government will conduct an investigation, although he denied that the Mi-17 helicopter was shot by the Taliban. However, many people want a thorough investigation to be done. Spokesman of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, in a media briefing on Friday, said that the Pakistani government is expected to conduct investigations on the crash of the helicopter carrying 17 passengers and 11 of them were foreign nationals. As stated before, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs received information related to the crash of Mi-17 helicopter belonging to the Pakistani military in the mountainous region of Gilgit, Pakistan on Friday, May 8, 2015 at 11:45 p.m. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi said that based on information from the Pakistani government through the Indonesian embassy in Islamabad on Friday, the wife of Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan, Harry Listiawati Burhan Muhammad, was killed during the accident. While Ambassador Muhammad Burhan was reportedly survived but suffered severe injuries. According to Retno LP Marsudi, the accident involved 32 other foreign ambassadors residing in Pakistan on board of 4 helicopters to attend the launching of some tourism project in the region of Gilgit, Pakistan. Meanwhile, Pakistani officials rejected claims by Taliban that they had shot down the Mi-17 helicopter as part of a plot to assassinate Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif. In an official statement, a Taliban spokesman said the group has hit the ill-fitted helicopter with anti-aircraft weapons to kill Nawaz Sharif, who was supposed to travel to Gilgit area. Taliban spokesman Mohammad Khorasani on Friday confirmed that a special group of the Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan had prepared an attack targeting Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif during a visit, but he survived since he was using another helicopter. Pakistani officials and news agency, however, doubted the claim because Taliban did not control the Gilgit-Baltistan region where the helicopter crashed. The Pakistani military spokesman Major General Asim Bajwa, through a Twitter account, said that the Mi-17 helicopter crashed while trying to make an emergency landing in Naltar. Two helicopters landed safely, but the third crashed and set on fire. In another occasion, the Pakistani defense minister announced that it would conduct an investigation to determine the cause of the helicopter crash near a school in accordance with the Indonesian government hope. Well, that was Focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Listener, here is our today's headlines taken from several printed media in Jakarta today, Monday, 11 May 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which writes, strategic program commences. In the 7 months of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kala's administration term of office, a number of ministries which nomenclatures are changing have started to fill in issuance of spending authority, Acting Secretary General of the Ministry of Rural Development of Disadvantaged Regions, or PDT, and Transmigration, Muhammad Nurdin, said that since last week, the ministry has received the budget. The total budget for the Ministry of Rural Development of Disadvantaged Regions, or PDT, and Transmigration, is 9 trillion rupiah. The budget, among others, is to carry out priority programs such as the construction of health centers, schools, and clean water facilities in 17,000 villages and 1,138 very underdeveloped villages. The new budget was disbursed last week because the ministry was changing the nomenclature so that it should do the organizational arrangement and adjust it with the issuance of spending authority. Koran Tempo meanwhile writes, Jokowi pushed to change party cadres. Listener, results of public opinion study group on Indonesia concluded that the public wants President Joko Widodo to reduce ministers coming from political parties. A public policy analyst, Agus Pambagio, when presenting the survey results yesterday, said, Jokowi should better. A public policy analyst, Agus Pambagio, when presenting the survey results yesterday, said, Jokowi should better put his trusted persons so as making his work faster. 48% of the respondents wanted the president to add ministers from professionals, while 40% of them answered Jokowi should not change the cabinet minister from political parties. Surveys were conducted through interviews with 450 respondents from 45 selected families in Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi on April 24 to 30. Media Indonesia writes, the government change approach on Papua. The central government under President Joko Widodo continues to change its approach on development in Papua. After giving clemency to 5 political prisoners Friday, President Jokowi made another breakthrough related to the press freedom in the region. After the harvest in Wapeko, Kurik District, Merauke, President Jokowi announced that foreign journalists are free to enter Papua as well as to other regions in Indonesia. And listener, we end today's headline with Business Indonesia Daily, which writes, public accountant firms will mushroom. The new rules on the practice of public accounting in Government Regulation No. 20, year 2015, is believed to revitalize the presence of public accounting firm because there is no time limit to conduct an audit of the certain company. Council of Indonesian Institute of Accountants advisor Mustafa revealed Government Regulation No. 20/2015 has removed the problem rotation, which has been a major obstacle for public accounting firm. According to him, the rule signed by President Joko Widodo on April 6, 2015 was a blessing for the firms because they don't need to change the names of the firm, partner members, and including laying off old partners and appointing a new partner. And listener, that was headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo leaves for Papua New Guinea on a state visit on Monday, accompanied by First Lady Iriana Jokowi and Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Tejo Edi Purdiatno from France Kai Sepo Airport on Biak Island, West Papua. The Indonesian government will actively participate in settlement the South China Sea dispute involving several ASEAN member countries and the People's Republic of China. On the sidelines of the Maritime Fulcrum and Foreign Policy Seminar Monday in Jakarta, Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fahir said that the Indonesian government will conduct various approaches to settle the long South China Sea disputes. The government of Nepal has asked the Indonesian government to extend its humanitarian mission through its field hospital built by the National Disaster Management Agency in Satunggal, Kathmandu. Indonesian Ambassador to Pakistan Burhan Muhammad is evacuated from Pakistan to Singapore on Monday, May 11, 2015, for further medical treatment for his injury after a helicopter accident in Gilgit District, Pakistan on Friday. Bank Indonesia announced that it would cooperate with state-owned enterprises ministry to encourage the use of rupiah in doing transactions at home. The government will promote West Papua Province to become the national granary by utilizing land of 4.6 million hectares, President Joko Widodo said on Sunday. According to him, the decision is a mega project to meet domestic rice needs through modern mechanism. The government has planned to establish maritime outlets to ensure the availability of staple foodstuffs and their price stability. Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel told the press on Sunday that the move is a part of ministry's effort to support the sea toll program. That was news in brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Pesanggrahan Manumbing in Bangka Belitung Province, so stay tuned. Listener, West Bangka is one regency in Bangka Belitung Province with Muntok as its capital city. This city has an important role in Indonesian history. Muntok City is noted as a city where some of Indonesian independent fighters were exiled after the Dutch military aggression in Yogyakarta in 1949. Indonesian President Soekarno or Bung Karno and Vice President Muhammad Hatta or Bung Hatta were flown to Muntok to be isolated from international war. By the way, to go to Muntok from Pangkal Pinang, the capital city of Bangka Belitung Province, it only takes around 3 hours with the distance around 138 kilometers. Visiting Muntok in West Bangka Regency, there are many interesting destinations. You should visit Pesanggrahan Manumbing, or known as a Jati Wisata. It is about 12 kilometers from Muntok City. At Pesanggrahan Manumbing, which is 445 meters above sea surface, Indonesian independent figures Bung Karno and Bung Hatta were exiled after the Dutch military aggression in Yogyakarta. Pesanggrahan Manumbing is located on the top of Mount Manumbing, Muntok, West Bangka Regency, Bangka Belitung Province. To reach Pesanggrahan Manumbing is quite difficult. There is only one access and only rented car or motorcycle available as means of transportation. Pesanggrahan Manumbing looks like an old house, but every room is still intact like it used to be. Listener, one of rooms at Pesanggrahan was Bung Karno's working room. At this room, you will see Bung Karno and Bung Hatta's letters as well as photographs of national leaders who have been exiled at Pesanggrahan Manumbing. There are also articles about development in Bangka at that time. In this building, you can also find Ford Deluxe 8 car with BN10 number. The car was once driven by Bung Karno in the past. Not far from Pesanggrahan, there are Bung Karno and Bung Hatta monuments facing the Bangka Strait. The monuments were inaugurated in 2000. On the top of the monuments, there is a statue of Garuda Bird completed with Pancasila 5 principles of ideology as its shield. Listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Ke Pasar Tradisional, or in English means to the traditional market. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and expression that related to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Pasar tradisional. Pasar tradisional, which means traditional market. Mengapa. Mengapa, which means why. Pergi. Pergi, which means go. Juga. Juga, which means also. Menjual. Menjual, which means to sell. Sayur-sayuran. Sayur-sayuran, which means vegetables. Buah-buahan. Buah-buahan, which means fruits. Lengkap. Lengkap, which means complete. Panas. Panas, which means hot. Bau. Bau, which means smelly. Kotor. Kotor, which means dirty. Bersih. Bersih, which means clean. Sejuk. Sejuk, which means cool. Membeli. Membeli, which means to buy. Kol. Kol, which means cabbage. Setengah kilogram. Setengah kilogram, which means a half kilogram. Wortel. Wortel, which means carrot. Kentang. Kentang, which means potato. Daun bawang. Daun bawang, which means leek. Daging sapi. Daging sapi, which means beef. Apple. Apple, which means apple. Jeruk. Jeruk, which means orange. Pasti. Pasti, which means surely. Memasak. Memasak, which means to cook. Sop. Sop, which means soap. Segera. Segera, which means soon. Berangkat. Berangkat, which means leave. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Ke Pasar Tradisional, or in English means to the traditional market. The conversation is between A, Mary, and B, Nita, on the way to traditional market. A, Mary. Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pasar tradisional? Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pasar tradisional? Which means, why do you like to go to traditional market? Mengapa tidak pergi ke supermarket? Mengapa tidak pergi ke supermarket? Which means, why don't you go to the supermarket? Supermarket juga menjual sayur-sayuran dan buah-buahan juga kan? Supermarket juga menjual sayur-sayuran dan buah-buahan juga kan? Which means, the supermarket also sell vegetables and fruits, right? B. Nita. Pasar tradisional lebih lengkap daripada supermarket. Pasar tradisional lebih lengkap daripada supermarket, which means it is more complete at the traditional market. A. Mary. Tetapi pasar tradisional panas, bau, becek, dan kotor. Tetapi pasar tradisional panas, bau, becek, dan kotor, which means, but traditional market is hot, smelly, muddy, and dirty. Sedangkan supermarket lebih bersih dan sejuk. Sedangkan supermarket lebih bersih dan sejuk, which means, while supermarket is cleaner and cool. Kamu mau membeli apa? Kamu mau membeli apa? Which means, What would you like to buy? B. Nita. Saya mau membeli kol, setengah kilogram wortel, kentang, dan daun bawang, serta daging sapi. Saya mau membeli kol, setengah kilogram wortel, kentang, dan daun bawang, serta daging sapi. Which means, I want to buy cabbage, a half kilogram of carrots, potatoes, and leek, as well as beef. Selain itu, saya juga mau membeli buah. Selain itu, saya juga mau membeli buah. Which means, besides, I also want to buy fruits. Saya mau membeli apel dan jeruk. Saya mau membeli apel dan jeruk. Which means, I want to buy apples and oranges. A. Mary. Oh, saya tahu. Kamu pasti akan memasak sop. Oh, saya tahu. Kamu pasti akan memasak sop. Which means, oh, it seems you will make soup. B. Nita. Betul. Mari kita segera berangkat. Betul. Mari kita segera berangkat. Which means, that's right. Let's go. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner.
presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Daulat Pane. In Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you Rinto Arahap, a singer, songwriter, as well as a music composer and producer. The man who was born in Sibolga, North Sumatra, on March 10, 1949, was the founder of the Mercy's Group Band. The group was established in the 1970s, consisted of Charles Hutagalung, Reynold Panggabean, and Rinto Harahap. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Benci Tapi Rindu. Happy listening.
Bukan hanya sekedar penghibur diriku ini, sayang. Bukan pula sekedar pelepas rindumu, oh sayang, sakit hati. Begitu kau datang dan pergi sesuka hatimu, oh tajamnya di kau, teganya di kau padaku. Kau pergi dan datang sesuka hatimu, sakitnya hati, bencinya hati padamu. Sakitnya hati ini, namun aku rindu. Bencinya hati ini, tapi aku rindu. Sekedar penghibur diriku ini, sayang. Bukan pula sekedar pelepas rindumu, oh sayang, sakit hatiku, oh, oh kau buat begitu. Kau datang dan pergi sesuka hatimu, oh kejamnya di kau, teganya di kau padaku. Kau pergi dan datang sesuka hatimu, oh sakitnya hati, bencinya hati padamu. Sakitnya hati ini, namun aku rindu. Bencinya hati ini, tapi aku rindu. Sakitnya hati ini,
Benci Tapi Rindu Song is a pop song composed by Rinto Harahap and popularized by Diana Nasution. Dan Rinto Harahap tried to sing this song with keroncong genre. Like most of his work, the song is about love. It is about the feelings of hatred and longing. Although it hurts, but feeling of longing is sometimes still present. That is love. Throughout his career in the Indonesian entertainment world, Rinto Harahap had composed many songs and popularized by a number of Indonesian singers, such as Nia Daniati, Betaria Sonata, Iis Sugianto, and Edi Silitonga. Rinto Harahap, who was known with his mellow songs, also has a recording company called Lollipop. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Bila Kau Seorang Diri, or If You Were Alone. Happy listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.